Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee, swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee, filled with messages from thee. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour. At thy feet its treasures store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. Ever only all for thee.
Well, good evening. You know, the last time that I was asked to preach for a church service, it was about a week before we went down to Chile. And Brother Pittman let me know about a week before we went down there, hey, just so you know, When you come down here, I'm going to ask you to preach while you're down here. And I thought, oh, you know, no problem. That's easy. And then he said, oh, by the way, I want you to do it in Spanish. You say, Josh, do you speak Spanish? No, I don't. He said, well, but Brother Pittman, he said, oh, you guys, you speak Spanish, don't you? You took Spanish in high school? And I said, yeah, I took 3 years of high school Spanish. That was 8 years ago since I took the last one. And so, of course, you guys know Brother Pittman. He's like, well, that means you know Spanish for 5 years longer than I have. You'll be all right. I'm sitting there thinking, no, that's not how that works. You say, well, you know, Josh, do you believe that the gift of tongues is still around today? Well, I wasn't blessed with the gift with the tongue of Spanish. I know that much is true. And so sometimes I don't even think if I have the tongue of English just preaching, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, there's no doubt there have been times when I've preached, when, you know, I've been preaching and the people that were listening to me, there's no doubt in my mind. There have been some times where, you know, the people listening to me, they had no idea what I was talking about. You know, there's been some times, to be honest, that while I was preaching, I'm just thinking to myself, man, what am I saying? But that was the first time that I didn't even understand the individual words that I was saying and what they meant. You know, I was just, you know, Google Translate and hope for the best, you know what I mean? But, you know, praise the Lord. Thankfully, I think Pastor's going to allow me to preach to you guys in English here tonight. Thank you, you know. Praise the Lord for an English Bible. You know, actually, as a matter of fact, it's a little disappointing. You know, the stream's not up. We don't have the computers working, because if you actually wanted to listen to tonight's message in Spanish, Brother Sam promised me that he was going to have an SAP button for you guys, and he was actually going to mute me while I preached, and then he was going to impersonate me doing my Spanish accent for you guys. And so, I mean, unfortunately, we don't have the stream up and running, so you missed out on that. But, you know, praise the Lord. You say, how did it go? Again, I don't know. It was in Spanish. I don't know. Anyway, but I do want to thank God for the Pittmans and all of our missionaries, to be honest. Everybody that will leave the country and go and serve God. And I encourage all of you, especially, you know, if you get a chance, start saving even now and go visit a missionary. I really do encourage you guys to do that. You know, if you plan for it and you start saving now, you know, I know it was an encouragement to the Pittmans when we went down there. So if you guys have the means and the ability to do that, I encourage you to do that, either the Cars or any of the other missionaries out of our church. But if you can't do that, you know, at least every now and then, as was mentioned recently, you know, take advantage of that missions board downstairs and send them an email, send them a call, send them a text, something like that, and just look forward to being an encouragement to them, if you would. And I know that they would appreciate it. So anyway, enough of that. Let's take our Bibles and let's open them to Luke chapter 10. Let's all stand, if you would. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, I'll admit, when Pastor asked me to preach, I had, you know, about five or so different messages that I tossed back and forth. Which one of these do I want to preach? But for whatever reason, all week long, I just couldn't get away from this passage. And so I hope it'll be a blessing to you tonight. I know it was a blessing to me as I studied it and I thought about it. And so I really hope it'll be a challenge and an encouragement to you. And the Lord will use it in your life here today. Anyway, Luke chapter 10, we're going to go ahead. We're going to look at the last five verses of Luke chapter 10. We'll read the text. I'll give you the title for my message. We'll pray. You can be seated and you know the drill. All right, Luke chapter 10, I think we're all there. Luke chapter 10, we'll read verses 38 through 42. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Familiar passage, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. And then verse number 42 says, But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. Today I'd like to preach to you a message which I have entitled, One Thing That Is Needful. One Thing That Is Needful. Brother Marksmeyer, will you go ahead and open us in prayer? Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Now, this is not my introduction. I actually have this labeled in my notes as pre-introduction, so I'll give you my real introduction here in a little bit. So this is just a pre-introduction, but I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but I don't know, for whatever reason, I've just been thinking about this the last few weeks or so, but you know, the Bible has a lot of things that it says that us as Christians that we should do and us as Christians that we should be. Now, I think I heard somewhere along the line that there's over 600 commandments or so in the Bible for Christians, and I mean, that's a lot. You know, Brother Kirby even mentioned this morning in Sunday school, but you know, if when you get saved, if God just gave you, he said, a list of all the things that you need to change as soon as you get saved, I mean, that could be pretty overwhelming, don't you think? I mean, and so I was thinking about this, that, you know, it would be a lot easier, I mean, if we can just do things one step at a time, you know, one thing at a time. And so, you know, if, I began to think, you know what, wouldn't it be nice if once you get saved, if every time you came to church, that God just gave you one thing for you to work on. You know, if every time you came to church, for example, you had maybe one sin that God convicted you of, or one area where God encouraged you, or, you know, one song that blessed your heart, or, you know, maybe one fellowship with a brother or sister in Christ. You know, if we just had one thing every single time we came to church, I mean, that would make every single church service profitable, wouldn't it? I mean, that would make it all worth it. That would make it worth coming to church. If every time you come to church, God blessed you with one thing. And so I actually got to looking. Did you know that there is exactly 16 times in the Bible where the two words one thing are right next to each other in the Bible? And so for whatever reason, these past few weeks, I thought about this about, I don't know, 3 weeks ago or so. And so for the last few weeks, I've just been looking up and reading passages in the Scripture where the Bible says one thing right next to each other. So let me give you a few of these verses. Some of these you may be familiar with. But we think of the... Hold on, give me a second to find it. But we think of the verse in Philippians chapter 3 where Paul says, you know, not that I have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. So we're familiar with that. And Paul said, this is one thing that I do. Then you remember the story of the rich young ruler, don't you? The rich young ruler, he came up to Jesus and he said, hey, what do I got to do to inherit eternal life? I mean, that's a good question. It's a question all of us need to be able to answer. And Jesus said, well, the commandments, you know, love the, you know, he said, you know the commandments, do not commit adultery, don't steal, don't kill, don't bear false witness, honor your father and mother, you know, defraud not, all those kinds of things. And then the man said, well, I've observed all these from my youth. And you remember what Jesus said unto him? He said, yet one thing thou lackest. And then I thought of the story. There's a story over in John chapter 11. John chapter 11, there was this blind man. And Jesus healed the blind man, and he healed him. And the Pharisees, you know, they didn't like the fact that Jesus healed the blind man. So they came to the blind man after he received his sight, and they told him, he said, hey, you know that Jesus guy? I mean, he's a sinner, isn't he? I mean, you know, he's not really, you know, the Son of God. He's a sinner. And you know what the blind man said, or that who, you know, received his sight, what he told the Pharisees? He said, talking to Jesus, he said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But this one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, but now I see. He said, you know, one thing, you know, I don't know, you know, one thing, I know one thing, and that's that I was lost, but I am found. He said, I was blind, but now I see. And so, I'm just not very good when it comes to multitasking. You know, I'm better when I just take one thing at a time, and, you know, when I get a punch list at work, you know, if I try and do four or five different things at a time, I just don't do very well. You know, I just give me one thing at a time, I would move on to one thing and then to the next. And so that's just how I work. And so I began thinking of that, and that's what drew me to this passage. Because at the end of verse number 42, or the beginning of verse number 42 in our text, Jesus said, but this one thing is needful. One thing is needful. And so I hope that we can all see what that one thing that's needful is here tonight. So that was my pre-introduction. We're going to get into the actual introduction now. So we're going to begin by looking at this story tonight. And again, we're going to just be looking at a simple message, but we can all relate to Martha in this story. I mean, we've all been to church and we've heard this story preached and taught on many times. We know what's taking place here. But we can all relate to Martha in this story. I mean, have you ever had a special guest come over for dinner? I mean, you know the pressure that you put on yourself when you have a guest coming over for dinner? I mean, just think about it. You know, you have this person coming over for dinner and I mean, you clean the house, you know, you make the kids clean their rooms and you spray some air freshener or something like that and I mean, use the good dishes, that's a thing, you know. I mean, use the good dishes. I mean, you make sure every single minute detail is 100% perfect. Now, can you imagine being Martha and having the Son of God, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, come and be your honored guest for dinner. Any ladies here willing to sign up for that? I mean, anybody just, hey, that's me right there, you know, tomorrow night, that's good. I mean, can you imagine the pressure that she was facing, the pressure that she no doubt put on herself? To be honest, the pressure that all of us would have had on ourselves if Jesus was going to be our honored guest for dinner. And so before we're too hard on Martha, you know, a lot of preachers, they preach this, and they're really hard on Martha, but to be honest, she's not doing anything that any of us here tonight would not have done either. She's not doing anything other than what any normal person would have done. That culture back in that time, it's the same as today. There would have been a lot of pressure on her, no doubt. And so as we think about this, we're going to get into the story here tonight. And so before we jump on Martha, as I said, let's consider the guest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's consider the culture. And then we're going to try and exactly what it was that Martha was trying to accomplish. So we're going to look at two things from this passage today, really three things today, but the third one we're just going to mention. So today I want us to see two examples of service in this passage of Scripture, and we're going to make some application of our service and see if we can't learn some things from these two women in our story. So the first example that I want us to see tonight, we're going to look at Martha, and with Martha I believe we see a great example, actually, of practical service, a great example of practical service to Jesus Christ. Now again, before I say anything, let me please say this. A lot of preachers who study the Bible and people who write commentaries on this passage, they bring Martha out into a very bad light. And I, for one, am not as hard on her. But let's read verses 38 through 40 again so we can all make sure that we're on the same page and see what it is exactly that they're getting at. So Luke chapter 10, verse 38 says this. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he, Jesus, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about, much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone, left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Okay, so we all know what's going on. We have Martha, and she's doing what we all would be doing, as we just said. And I'll go ahead and say it. She was doing what she should have been doing, okay? She was doing what she should have been doing. A lot of Bible scholars like to say, well, she should have been sitting at the feet of Jesus with Mary. But no, I don't think that's the case. Look, someone had to prepare the meal that night. I mean, if not, Jesus was going to go hungry. And I don't know if you know this or not. We didn't really set the context of this chapter. But Jesus had a pretty interesting day, a pretty long day. And if she didn't prepare that meal, then they weren't going to eat that night. Somebody had to prepare the meal. She was doing what she was supposed to be doing, in my opinion. And so, you know, we know the story. So she's working hard. She's laboring. She's doing the things that she's supposed to be doing. She's preparing this meal. And then we know what happens. She looks over at her sister. You know, sisters. I don't have any sisters. I don't even know what I'm talking about. But, you know, he looks over at her sister, and she's just sitting there at Jesus' feet. And I'm over here doing all this hard work. She's just sitting over there doing nothing. You know, she goes up to Jesus. Jesus, look at this. I'm doing all this hard work, and this scrub over here is just sitting at your feet listening to you. You know, make her help me. I mean, that's the Josh version, of course. You know, the scrub over here is just sitting there. She's doing nothing. Make her come help me. And so that's what we get at. Okay, so let's set this up for her. Okay, so she's working hard. She's preparing this meal. And then the Bible says that we get what seems to be a little bit of a mild rebuke from Jesus. But before we do that, let's look at Luke chapter 10, verse number 2. Luke chapter 10, verse number 2. I don't think I have to do this on a Sunday night, but we're going to set this up. We're going to look at a couple of verses, if you would, to prove the fact that she was doing what she was supposed to be doing. Luke chapter 10, verse number 2. This is Jesus earlier in the day. Jesus said this. He said, therefore, said he unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. So we know that Jesus is not condemning the fact that she's laboring. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, no, we need to pray for laborers. Laborers is good. Those who labor for Jesus Christ, that's a good thing. As a matter of fact, we need more people who will labor. So Jesus is not condemning the fact that she's serving, that she's doing this thing for Jesus. And then also, if you will, if you'll turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 real quick. We know this as well, of course. These verses are what are known as the qualifications for a pastor. But we know that pastors aren't really supposed to be anything more than us Christians. Right. I mean, they're not supposed to be held to any higher standard. I mean, they're just basically what a Christian is supposed to be. Right. Each and every one of there's no reason that our pastor should be more spiritual than any one of us in this room. Amen. And so when it comes to 1 Timothy chapter 3, I believe this verse applies to every single person in here. So 1 Timothy chapter 3, the phrase we're looking for is found in verse number 2, but we're going to read verse number 1. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 2 says, "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, then notice, given to hospitality." Given to hospitality. So we see that the Bible teaches us that we're supposed to be laborers, we're supposed to be serving, and we're supposed to be hospitable. This is true. We all know this here tonight. And I don't think we can say that Martha was doing anything other than what we would say is just being naturally hospitable and laboring like any one of us would. We all agree with that. She wasn't doing anything more than just being hospitable and trying to do her best in serving. And so it's good to work hard, and it's good for that, and it's good to be hospitable. So the question is, why do we read what seems to be a mild rebuke from Jesus back in Luke chapter 10, verse number 41? Let's read that. In Luke chapter 10, verse 41, the Bible says, this is after she, of course, came to Jesus. The verse 41 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Careful and troubled about many things. So why is it that Jesus gives this rebuke? Well, after studying and meditating upon this passage and praying, I think the answer is actually found in the previous verse, in verse number 40. Let's read that. The Bible says in verse number 40, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving." Do you know what that word "cumbered about" means in the Greek? That word "cumbered about" literally means, the literal definition of the Greek word, it means to be dragged around mentally. Just picture yourself like dragging something along. She was being dragged about by her service. Let me see if I can put this in a different way for you. Martha's problem was not that she was serving. Martha's problem was not that she was working hard. The problem was that she was cumbered about much serving. Let me see if I can say this a different way. Again, the problem wasn't her serving. The problem wasn't that she was serving. Her problem was that her service became her primary focus, not who she was serving for. Let me say that again. Her problem was not that her service, but that her service became her primary focus, not who she was serving for. Her problem was that she was focused on the serving and not on the Savior. You know, a lot of times we as Christians, we put our focus on our service for Jesus and not on Jesus himself. And when we do that, a couple of things happen. Let me give you a couple of things that I thought of. Number one, we become proud in our service. I can't prove this to you from the text, but we know this is true, isn't it? When our focus is placed on our service and not on the Savior, we become proud in our service. I mean, you had to think that Martha thought that the meal that she was preparing was the best meal ever made. I mean, you had to think that she was putting all this energy and all this focus onto this meal, that she had to have been proud of it by the time it was all done. And you know, we as Christians, we tend to think sometimes, well, I serve this way, and I put all of this energy into serving, and I do this, and no one can do it as good as I can. You know, I sing a special, and every time I sing a special, I get up there, you know, I practice my specials, and I get up there, and every time I sing, it just comes out perfectly. You know, if you keep your focus, if you take your focus off of the Savior, and you put it on the serving itself, you can become proud in your service. You can say, this is what I do. I sing specials, and I become a blessing to the church. And it's all about you, and it's not about the Savior at that point. We can become proud in our service. You know, I teach a class and I prepare for my devotions and men's prayer, and I put all this effort into it. And every time I do it, mine are always better than everybody else's. And we become proud in our service. Secondly, not only when our focus is on our serving and not on the Savior do we become proud in our service, but secondly, our irritability of others' lack of service increases. Our irritability of others' lack of service increases. Now, this is straight from the text. We know this is true because Martha tells Jesus, how come Mary isn't serving? Why isn't she serving? Jesus, look at this. I'm doing all of this service, and she's just sitting there doing nothing. She's just sitting in the pew learning from Jesus' feet. That's all she's doing. She's not serving at all. And we become irritable about all those around us who aren't serving like we are. Well, how come they aren't serving like I am? How come their specials, every time they get up to sing a special, they always mess up? Do they not practice? I mean, do they not put forth effort? I mean, do they not study? And we become irritable with others' service. You know, or better yet, how come they aren't doing anything, as I just said? How come they aren't doing anything at all but just sitting there? You know, I'm doing all this stuff. I teach a class. I usher. I work the meal. I do all this. And this bum over here is doing nothing but sitting and learning at Jesus' feet in the pew. When our focus is on the serving and not on the Savior, we become critical of others. And we become irritable with others. We become critical of others' lack of service. We need to realize that God has not called everyone to serve like you do. God has not called everyone to serve in the same areas, in the same capacity as you. You know, if you're here and you're serving and you're laboring, look, that's great. That's a good thing. What Martha was doing was a good thing. But your focus has to be on the Savior and not on your service. So thirdly, when our focus becomes on our service instead of the Savior, the third thing I notice is that we fall into self-pity and we become frustrated. Again, this is straight from the Bible, isn't it? Verse number 40. Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. First, we see the self-pity. Again, I don't see sisters. Maybe this is just a sister thing. But you know, I mean, I could just picture her complaining to Jesus. You know, Jesus, do you even care that she is just sitting there doing nothing? Well, I am doing all of this work myself. I'm putting forth all of this effort, and she's sitting there doing nothing. You know, tell her to do something. Make her help me. Can you see the self-pity in that? Yeah. You know, look at this. I'm doing all this work, and she's doing nothing. Jesus, make her help me. I mean, I don't even need to illustrate it for you guys. I mean, you guys have children. You know, you know how this works. You know, they tell you, okay, you and your sister go clean your room. And then 5 minutes later, one of them comes back. Look, she's not helping me. She's not helping me. She's just sitting there doing nothing. I'm the only one cleaning up the room. She's just sitting there doing nothing. You know what happens? You know what that is? Their focus is not on obeying mom and dad. Their focus is on their service. The fact that they're serving, they're cleaning the room, and someone else isn't. And they become full of self-pity, and they come and complain to you. You know, look, make them help me. Make them do something. That's self-pity. And when we have our focus on our service instead of the Savior, we too will become full of self-pity. And that's true in the church as well. When our focus is on our service instead of the Savior, we become full of self-pity. Again, how come no one cleans the bathrooms like I do? You know, how come every time I'm the only one that cuts the grass this way? You know, I'm the only one that cleans this spot in the church. Everybody else on the entire cleaning list, they always miss this spot. How come I have to take the trash out every single time? You know what that is? That's your focus on your service and on the fact that you get to serve the church. You get to serve Jesus Christ, and I mean, you get to clean God's house. You get to cut God's grass. You get to teach a Sunday school or whatever it may be. You get to sing a special, sing in the choir. I mean, you get to be a blessing to the church. You know, that's when your focus is not in the right spot. You become full of self-pity. Secondly, I see, is the fact that she was frustrated. Verse number 41, look at verse 41 again. Bible says, verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled. Notice, about many things. This wasn't just about the meal anymore. I mean, this was, everything was bothering her. Everything was bothering. Have you ever been so frustrated? You know, when you've got your focus on your service, what you're doing. You know, you're at your work, and everything just seems to be going wrong, and you're trying to do stuff, and everything you do just seems like you keep messing it up. And then all of a sudden, I mean, everything bothers you. You know? I mean, I could just picture Martha in the kitchen. You know, man, it's so hot in here. Why is the dog on the couch? You know, why is he even in the house? Get the dog out of here. That music is so loud. Martha or Mary, get up and do something. Help me. Everything was bothering her. It was full of frustration. It wasn't even about the meal anymore. She was careful and troubled about many things. I want you guys to understand here tonight. If you get your focus off of the Savior when you're trying to serve Him, you can become frustrated. I mean, you can get to a point where everything bothers you. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, I mean, they'll just, everything they do, little things will start to rub you the wrong way. And it'll become a bother to you. It'll become frustrating to you. Where's the joy in serving Jesus when everything is frustrating? When everything is a bother. So she was frustrated. She was irritable. But I think if she would have taken time to stop and focus on the fact that she was preparing a meal for the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, I think her attitude about the meal, about everything around her, would have been completely different. If she would have stopped and realized the fact that she was serving the Savior, she was preparing Him a meal for that night. What an honor. Amen. What an honor when God gives us the opportunity to serve Him, to teach a class or to sing in the choir, or to sing a special. What an honor that is. If we would just take the time and stop and think about the fact that this is what we get to do to serve God. I mean, why would we be frustrated? Why would we let little things start to bother us? Why would we be looking around at others who aren't serving? And why are we becoming critical of their service when, I mean, just go ahead and serve God. You, just go ahead and serve God how God has called you to serve Him. So then fourthly, when our focus is on our serving and not on the Savior, we miss out on the blessing for why we are serving. Let me say that again. We miss out on the blessing for why we are serving. Do you think by the time supper was ready that Martha had realized what a blessing it was to provide a meal for the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't think so. Let me see if I can illustrate this for you. I heard this illustration before. There was this family that went to Yellowstone National Park. Anybody here, just show of hands, been to Yellowstone? Nobody? Okay, just a few people. Okay. So I've never been there, but apparently it's very beautiful. You know, there's a lot of sights and stuff you can see. And so this family, much like my family, they were going every time growing up when we went on vacation, we always drove. We never flew. And so we were driving to Yellowstone National Park. And how many of you have ever done this? But they had a little boy, and the little boy wanted to play the license plate game. You guys know what the license plate game is, isn't it? All right, so he took his piece of paper, and he had all 50 states listed off. And every time he saw a car with the license plate of a different state that he hadn't found before, he marked it off his list on his way to Yellowstone National Park. And so, I mean, the kid was pretty good. By the time they got there, he had 49 of the 50 states. I mean, that's pretty impressive. I mean, he found one from Alaska. Like, who's from Alaska, you know? And then he's got one from North Dakota again. Who's from North Dakota? He found one from New Mexico. I mean, that's a whole other country. That's bonus points right there. I used that joke before, I know, but I mean, no, the only state he was missing was Delaware, because again, who's from Delaware, you know? Anybody here from Delaware? No? Okay, good. There's no stream, we're not on the stream tonight, so you know, I won't offend anybody from Delaware, so. But the only license plate that he was missing was from Delaware. And so the entire time he is at Yellowstone National Park, you know what he was doing? He was looking at license plates of cars that drive by, seeing if it was from Delaware or not. I mean, he went to the parking lots, and he would just start looking through cars and seeing, hey, is this license plate from Delaware or not? And I mean, the entire time. I mean, his parents were like, hey, come over here, check this out. Oh, no, I'm just looking for Delaware, you know. No, hey, why don't you come in here? We're going to go eat at this restaurant. Yeah, no, I want to stay out here and look for Delaware. And he's like, no, you're going to come in here and eat. So he goes and eats real quick and slams his food down, runs back out, starts looking for Delaware. By the time he finally left, it was great, but when he left, as they're leaving, in the parking lot, he found it. He found the car with the license plate of Delaware. You know, and his parents, they took this picture, you know, he's all excited. He got his 50th state, he completed the challenge, the mission, whatever you call that. I mean, he won the game, he found all 50 states. You know, and they took his picture. But let me ask you a question. Do you think that boy, I mean, do you really think that he received the full blessing and experience for going to Yellowstone National Park? No. I mean, why not? I mean, he went there. He visited all the sites. He ate at the restaurants, you know. He saw the monuments. He participated, but his focus was somewhere else. His focus was on something else. You know, his focus was on Delaware. And when we put our focus on our service and not on the Savior, we completely miss out on the blessings for why we're serving. You know, that boy, he missed out on the blessing or the experience, you know, all the stuff that comes with visiting a great national park like that. I mean, he missed out on all those blessings. And when our focus is on our service and not on the Savior, we miss out on the blessings for why we're serving. So before we finish with Martha, before we move on to Mary, I just want to reiterate the fact that she is a very good example of labor and hospitality. She is a very good example of practical service. Her practical service was pretty spot on. And if it weren't for the fact that her focus was misplaced, I think she would also be commended in this story as well. But we can all learn from Martha's example of practical service. I mean, as a matter of fact, when I read Martha's zeal and passion for her service for Jesus Christ, it's convicting. It is. When you think of how hard she was serving and her focus and her attention and her zeal and her passion, it was pretty up there. It was high quality. You know, you think of your service for Jesus Christ. Is your practical service where Martha's was? I dare say for most of us, probably not. Again, serving Christ was not her problem. Her problem was that she disconnected her service from the one who she was serving for. Okay, so we looked at Martha. Now let's look at Mary. Again, with Martha, we see this example of practical service. Now with Mary, I believe we see an example of personal service. Personal service. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but with Mary, this Mary that's found in our text is mentioned only 3 times in Scripture. Did you know that? Only 3 times in Scripture. You know what she's doing every single time she's mentioned in those 3 verses? Well, let's look at them. Look at our text again in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, look at verse number 39. The Bible says, "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Turn with me, if you will, to John 11. John 11, hold your place, of course, in Luke chapter 10, John 11. John 11, verse 32. Let's look at this. The Bible says, "Then when Mary," St. Mary, by the way, "was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at Jesus' feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." We know the story. Her brother Lazarus had died, and she was a little upset that Jesus didn't come earlier. She said, "You know, Jesus, if you would have came earlier, then I have no doubt that my brother would still be alive." But when she finally saw Jesus, she fell down at his feet, and she began to weep in front of everybody. I mean, in front of everybody. Now let's look over at John, across the page, or the next page, in John chapter 12. John chapter 12, let's read verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been raised from the dead, or whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served." Notice, Martha's a great example of practical service, and Martha was serving again. "But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with them." Notice what Mary's doing. Verse number 3. "Then took Mary a proud of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet with Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." All 3 times in Scripture, You know where this Mary is found? She's found at the feet of Jesus. Every single time, she is found at the feet of Jesus. That's amazing. You know, but I know one thing. I guess it's fair to ask this question. Do you think the only thing Mary did was spend time at Jesus' feet? I mean, obviously not. You know, I don't picture Jesus, you know, doing that little kid thing where the kid's grabbing on your leg and you're kind of just, you know, dragging Mary along. She's at my feet again. No, obviously she was not. But I know one thing. I know one thing for a fact. That the time that she spent at Jesus' feet impacted the time away from Jesus' feet. Amen. Let me see if I can illustrate this. Pardon me if this is a little funny. But let's say I just had the Nob-Noster jitters. And I mean, I had the Nob-Noster jitters, and I was just feeling it today. And let's say that I ran to church today. Do you guys believe that I ran to church today? I mean, I don't know. Am I sweaty? You know, do I look like I ran to church today? I don't know. Probably not. But you know, let's say I ran to church today, you know, and while I was running to church, I got hit by a semi. You know, I got ran over by a truck. You know, don't say anything, Robert, but, you know, let's say, you know, do I really look like I got hit by a truck? I mean, you say, well, hold on a second. Again, don't say anything, Robert, but anyway, you know, I mean, if I got hit by a truck, I would have, like, you know, some bruises, you know, some scrapes, some broken limbs or something like that. You know, it would be obvious that I was impacted by a truck. And the application, of course, you guys know what I'm trying to draw, the conclusion I'm trying to draw. The time that Mary spent at Jesus' feet had an impact on how she lived away from Jesus' feet. Notice this, if you will. I see, what do you think Mary's doing while she's at Jesus' feet? Of course, back in our text in Luke chapter 11, we see what she's doing. Of course, she's serving. Back at our text, she's serving just like Martha is. I mean, she's being hospitable. She's entertaining the guests, wouldn't you say? She's being hospitable. She's doing what she's supposed to be doing at that time. But notice again with me, in verse number 35, verse 39, see what was happening, what she was actually doing at Jesus' feet. Verse 39 of Luke chapter 10 says, "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet," and help me out with the next three words, "and heard his word," and heard his word. You know, what is she doing there? I mean, obviously, again, she was being hospitable, she was entertaining the guest. You know, I'm sure there was a little bit of, "Hey, Jesus, how was your day?" You know, "Jesus, you know, how was your travels? How was, you know, how's life going? You know, what's going on?" But the most part of the time that she spent at Jesus' feet, I picture nothing other than Jesus just teaching her the Word of God. And she's just sitting there soaking it in, hearing the Word of God. You know, I want us to see several observations about Mary. The first thing I observe from Mary, the first thing that's obvious to me, is that she obviously had a love for Jesus and God's Word. She obviously had a love for Jesus, a genuine love for Jesus and God's Word. I don't think you could come to any other conclusion than the fact that she had a genuine love for Jesus and His Word. I mean, you don't take your expensive, precious ointment, and you don't take this costly ointment and anoint Jesus' feet with it and wipe your hair on His feet if you don't have a genuine love for Him. I mean, you don't cry your heart out to Jesus, literally cry your heart out to Jesus in front of everybody, break down and weep right in front of Him for all to see with no shame unless you genuinely love Jesus. And you know, I don't believe you sit at Jesus' feet and listen to His Word intentionally without a genuine love for Jesus. No, I'm talking about us now. I'm talking about us now. You don't sit at Jesus' feet and learn His Word and hear His Word without a genuine love for Him. Again, no, I'm not saying that, you know, well, you're saying, oh, well, I sit at Jesus' feet. I come to church every service. You know, I come twice on Sunday and I come on Wednesday night. No, that's not what I said. She genuinely came and sat at His feet to hear His Word because she loved Him and she loved God's Word. When was the last time you sat at Jesus' feet because you loved Him and you just wanted to hear from Him? Again, not that you just came to church, but you just said, God, please, teach me something. God, I'm coming to church today. God, I'm about to read my Bible. God, please, teach me something. God, look, I just want to know more about You. Show me something. Teach me something. When was the last time you did that? For Mary, I get the indication from Scripture, that was every opportunity she could get. It was every chance she had, she took. When was the last time for you? When was the last time for me that out of a heart of love for God, you said, God, please teach me something from your word. I think that's for all of us. I think for all of us, to be honest, it's probably not enough, am I right? But secondly, notice this. Secondly, I believe that she placed value on the time that she spent at Jesus' feet. She made it a priority. She wasn't at Jesus' feet because she had nothing else to do. I mean, ask Martha. There was plenty to do. I mean, there was a meal to prepare. I mean, this was a big night. You know, we have an important guest coming. There's plenty to do. We got to get the dog out. You know what I mean? We got to clean. We got to cook. We got to prepare. We got stuff to do. But she placed value on it. She placed more value on it than her service. She placed more value of sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing his word than service itself. Think about that. How many times have you, either, you know, you're preparing to study or you're preparing to teach your lesson or a devotion, and you say, well, you know, I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to pray because I need to get ready for service. I need to get ready for my service. You know, I can't read my Bible because I got to practice my special. I got to sing tonight. No, Mary placed value on spending time at Jesus' feet above even her service itself. Those who sit at Jesus' feet, let me tell you this, they don't just end up there on accident. Mary didn't just accidentally happen to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word and take it in and try to apply it in her life. That didn't happen by accident. No, she placed great value on that. And that's why it was able to happen. Again, there are plenty of things in life that will take up your time and keep you from spending time with Jesus. Do you believe that's the case? There are plenty of things that will suck up your time and prevent you from spending time at Jesus' feet if it's not a priority to you. The devil will always find you something more important than spending time at the Savior's feet if you let it, if you let him. If you don't ascribe the value to it, you have to see the value in it in order to get it done. You have to see the value in it and make it a priority, or you're not going to do it. She placed value on sitting at Jesus' feet. Thirdly, the third thing I notice, she didn't allow the distractions or cares of this world to pull her away from her time with Jesus. We've seen that from the text, of course. Some can argue this point, you know, that she should have been helping Martha. You know, I'm sure there's some, you know, maybe there's some cooks out there saying, you know what, she should have been helping Martha. Yeah, there was a lot to do. I mean, you got to set the table. You got to get the dishes out. You know, you got to put the table. There was a lot to do, and you're just sitting there. A lot of people are here, you know, that we can understand what Martha is talking about. You know, we can understand the fact that, you know, Mary, it seems on the outside, Mary's just sitting there. And there was all this other stuff going on that she could have been doing. But she didn't let those distractions, other things, pull her away from her time spent at Jesus' feet. You know, you're right. The preparing the meal was important. Again, I'll say it again. You know, if nobody prepared the meal that night, then Jesus would have gone hungry, and that would not have been a good thing. Someone had to prepare the meal. And I have no doubt if Martha wasn't there, get this. I have no doubt if Martha wasn't there, she would eventually, I believe Mary would have got up and prepared the meal. But I have no doubt in my mind, she still would have spent some time at Jesus' feet first before she got up and did anything. And I don't think any of us would have blamed Mary if she was serving, you know, if she got up and started helping Martha and started preparing the meal with Martha. But for Mary, she wasn't going to allow something of lesser importance cause her to miss something on that which she placed greater importance. She wasn't about to allow distractions or even the fact that there was service that needed to be done prevent her from spending time listening to Jesus' word. How often do you and I allow distractions to take precedence over spending time at Jesus' feet? How often do we let distractions take precedence over spending time at Jesus' feet? We see with Mary, no distraction, no act of service would prevent her from personal time with Jesus. Then fourthly, she wasn't about to trade, that which was eternal for that which was temporal. She wasn't about to allow that which was eternal for that which was temporal. She wasn't about to trade that. You say, where do you get that from? Look at verse 41 again. Verse 41 in our text, Luke chapter 10, says, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Notice verse number 42. "But one thing is needful." Look at the last part of this verse. "And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Did you know the meal that they ate that night was temporal? I mean, it was one meal. I mean, maybe they fed Jesus for that night. Maybe, if you're generous, maybe there was leftovers the next night. I mean, there probably was, you know, as big as, you know, knowing Martha, you know, there was probably some leftovers the next night. But that was it. It was temporal. And, you know, we don't know exactly what the meal was. But we know one thing. Even here today, a couple thousand years later, Mary spent time with Jesus at Jesus' feet. You know what? Mary spent time at Jesus' feet, and that relationship that she was working on is an eternal relationship. The relationship that she was working on while spending time at Jesus' feet is an eternal relationship that far outlasted the meal that was prepared that night. And every second you and I spend praying and listening at Jesus' feet is not wasted time, but rather building upon an eternal relationship. And God said, Mary got this eternal reward, this reward that shall not be taken away from her. I think there's something that should be mentioned here. Now, I don't want us to miss this, and I don't want us to skip over this. But I believe that Martha could have gotten a reward as well that could not have been taken away from her if she didn't disconnect her Savior from her service. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? Well, let's see if I can illustrate this for you. If turning for you, if you will, over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me get there as well. Hang in there, we're almost done. I'm on page 15 and 19 in my notes, for those who are taking notes, if that means anything to you. According to my math, we're 15, 19 of the way done. So, I mean, anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's look at verses 12 through 14. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, now if any man build upon this foundation, we know these verses, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, verse number 14, which he hath built upon, he shall receive a reward. All right. How can I put this? All of our service, we know this, all of our service is characterized by either wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones. As verse 14 says, and all of our works are going to be tried by fire, and only that which remains will receive an award, obviously, okay? So for the sake of illustration, how many of you were blessed by the choir special tonight? Let me see if I can illustrate the difference between Mary and Martha with this illustration. So how many of you were blessed by the choir special tonight? You know, I think the song was, He is mine and I am His, amen. Was that a blessing to you? All right, so just humor me for a second. For sake of illustration, this, I don't know if this is true. I hope this isn't true, but okay, we're going to say that all the men in the choir, let's say, just pretend. Let's say all the men in the choir tonight, I mean, they were all very vain. I mean, you know, raise your hand if you're a man and you're singing in the choir tonight. No, I'm just kidding. All right, but let's say that they were very vain. And their attitude walking up, they come from this way, right, Brother Scott? Okay. And as they're walking in here, their attitude was, you know, man, I wish the cameras were running again so they can get a shot of me because, you know. You know, I wish I could have got a close-up tonight because I'm looking really good tonight. You know, my vocals are on point. You know, la, 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 la. You know. There's a reason I'm not in the choir, but, you know. So, you know, yeah, I mean, my vocals are on point. I'm looking good. I'm feeling good, you know. I'm about to sing this, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm about to sing this. I mean, it's just good. You know, I'm going to bless the church with my singing. Okay, let's say that's what the men did, okay? We're just pretending, okay? Now, on the other hand, okay, we're going to go over here. And let's say all the ladies in the choir, you guys obviously heard the difference, right? You know, all the ladies in the choir, they were extremely godly today. I mean, you know, they all, you know, every one of them before they came up, you know, I mean, they were just praying. They said, you know, Lord, I mean, it's just us here today. You know, there's no cameras here. It's just us. But, you know, God, if you can use my talents in any way to, you know, bless the church, you know, God, I just want to do the best I can for you. I just want you to use my talents and my abilities. And God, I'm lifting this up to you. You know, bless my service in any way that you possibly can. Okay, so we have these two people. Now, let me ask you this. Did the men in the choir tonight bless you with their service, okay? Well, did you enjoy it? Did you enjoy the choir tonight? Say amen, okay? So if you enjoy the choir tonight, did just the men bless you? No. No, the entire choir. Some of you were saying, you know, I thought the basses, you know, they seemed a little flat. You know, I knew there was something wrong with those guys. You know, there's something. No. The entire choir blessed you. You know, what a great thing that is that you received a blessing from the choir special tonight. I mean, that's why we sing in the choir, right? I mean, guys that sing in the choir, I mean, that's why we have that. That's why we have these things, to be a blessing. But wouldn't it be sad if all the men that got up in the choir didn't receive their reward for singing in the choir? You say, what do you say? I mean, I received a blessing from it. It was useful in my life. Do you know that wood, hay, and stubble can be useful?
Yeah.
I mean, you take a fire. You know, we have campfire, you know, we have bonfires at our house every now and then, coming up, I think, in a couple months, just plug that. But, you know, you have a fire, and you take some wood, take some hay, you take some stubble, you throw that thing in a fire. I mean, that'll make the fire burn a little bigger. It'll make the fire burn a little longer. But you know what happens when that fire goes out? You got nothing left. There's no more wood, hay, and stubble. You know, you take a fire, and you take gold, silver, and precious stones, and you throw that same gold, silver, and precious stones into that same fire. You know what happens when the fire goes out? You'll have gold, silver, and precious stones. I mean, that's obvious to us, isn't it? You know, and so we think about this. Martha could have received her reward if she didn't disconnect her Savior from her service. She could have. She could have received the eternal reward, and that's the sad thing about it. That's the sad thing about this story, is because we see Martha working so hard, putting so much preparation and effort into her service. We see her doing this, and on the outside, it all looks so good. But she didn't receive the reward because she had her focus on the Savior, or not on the Savior. But then Mary, on the other hand, did have her focus on the Savior, and that's why her service, again, I will submit to you tonight, she was serving as well. And her service, the Bible says, she received an eternal reward for it. She received an eternal reward for it. So we're almost done here. Well, actually, I'll just give you my fifth observation about Mary. My last observation about Mary. Luke chapter 10, verse 42. Let's turn back there. Luke chapter 10, verse 42. My last observation about Mary was that she got the part that she needed, that we all need. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 42. First few words. But one thing is needful. Jesus says, this is one thing we all need, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. I submit to you tonight that Mary got that one thing that every single one of us who will venture out and desire to serve God, she had that one thing that we all need. She had the good part, which was time spent at Jesus' feet and a focus on the Savior during her service. It's what she needed. It's what we all need. If any one of us here is going to serve God, if any one of us is going to serve God like He wants us to, we all need that.
Right.
It's the part that we need. We need to spend time at Jesus' feet. We need our focus not to be on our service, not to be on ourselves, not to be on those around us and what they're doing and not doing. We need our focus on Him, on the Savior. And we know that she received her eternal reward again for it. How do we know that it takes time with God and a focus on Him for our personal service to receive an eternal reward? Because Jesus said it was the one thing that's needful. Again, if you get nothing out of this message, listen to the words from Jesus. One thing is needful, something we all need, and it was the part that Mary chose. Notice again, it's a choice. You have to put value on it. You have to not let anything, you have to protect it. You can't let distractions pull you from it. Jesus said it's the good part, and it's the part that cannot be taken away from you. You cannot serve God without it, and you won't receive your eternal reward without it, and that's time spent with Jesus and a focus on Jesus in our service. Martha, she prepared this great meal, and she received no reward for it again, but she could have. But she gotten her focus if she would have gotten her focus on the Savior, she would have. And then Mary didn't even touch the meal. But she received that which could not be taken away from her because her focus was on the Savior the entire time. Don't miss this. Again, anyone who wants to serve God needs to heed verse number 42. Jesus himself said this. This isn't me speaking. This is Jesus himself. He said, this is the one thing. The one thing. If you want to focus on one thing, get the one thing that's needful. Spend time at his feet and focus on him while you serve him. So we've seen Martha's example of practical service. We've seen Mary's example of personal service. And I think the application for us all, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? If we combine the two ladies in the story, if we took the practical service of Martha and the personal service of Mary, and we put them together, I believe we end up with a profound expression of pleasing service to Christ. Pleasing service. Let's take the two women, and let's take the two great examples of service, both practically, working hard, serving hard, doing it with the best of our abilities, and let's couple it with the personal expression of service, spending time at his feet and a focus on him while we serve. And when we put the two together, I believe we have a service that pleases Jesus, don't you? Amen. I believe Jesus was physically and incredibly honored by the practical service that Martha did that night. I believe he was pleased with the preparation and the zeal and the fact that she was doing all those different things to prepare that meal. I believe that Jesus was honored by her practical service. But I believe Jesus was also pleased and honored by the fact of Mary's personal service. The fact that she saw it was more important to spend time at his feet and to listen to his word than to do all the other things that need to be taken care of. And all of us are called to serve. Not all of us are called to serve in the same capacity, in the same areas as each other. But if we are going to please God with our service, I think we need to take Martha's practical service and couple it with Mary's personal service. You know, sometimes practical service can be easy. You know, you can show up with just practical service, and you can just go through the motions. You can just get up here and sing in the choir, and you can just go through the motions with no personal service involved, and it can be easy. Sometimes, on the other hand, if you just have practical service, as we saw with Martha, it can be troublesome. I mean, it can be work. It could be labor. You know, and sometimes you just feel like, you know, not bothering to show up at all. But, you know, the truth is, you won't receive your reward without the personal service. But on the other hand, the personal service alone, look, God wants us to do something. God wants us to get up and serve him. He doesn't want us to just sit at his feet. That's great. That's the part that we need. But we got to get up and serve him. We got to get up and do something for him. We need both the practical and the personal service. And if we do that, I believe Jesus is pleased with our service. So today we've seen these two women from the story. We've seen Martha's great example, a great example of practical service. She was laboring, she was hospitable, she was serving with all that she had. But her focus was on her service and not on the Savior, which caused her to be proud in her service, which caused her to be irritable with others' lack of service, and it also led to frustration and self-pity, and she missed out on the blessing for why we all serve because of it. And then we looked at Mary. We saw a great example of personal service. She took every opportunity she had to spend at Jesus' feet, and she did so because she had a genuine love for Jesus and his word. She placed great value on it. She didn't allow distractions or the cares of this world to pull her away from it, and she also received her reward for it, and she did that part which we all need to do. And then we take the two together and we get pleasing service. So we'll just make some application and we'll be done. Maybe you're here today and you don't know if you're saved, and it's a long time ago, but in my pre-introduction, I mentioned that story about the blind man who said, "One thing I know, and where I was blind, but now I see." You know, if you're here today and you're not saved, and you can't say like that blind man, you know, "I know one thing, and that's that I was blind, but now I see. I know for a fact that I'm saved." If that's you here today and you don't know if you're saved, if you don't know if your sins are forgiven, if you don't know if there's peace between you and God, then this altar is open here in just a little bit. We're going to have an invitation. You can come down front, and we would love to show you how you can know and say like the blind man, "One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see." But for those of us who are here tonight, this is a simple message for us. Again, let me just ask you a couple of questions. Number one, how is your service for Jesus? I guess it's fair to ask, are you serving him? Are you serving him? Are you serving God where he wants you? Is God impressing upon your heart to serve him in some other area, but you have not surrendered him to him yet? Then please go ahead and do that today. How is your practical service? Are you laboring? Are you serving where God wants you to the best of your ability? Also, has your practical service become a greater focus than the Savior for which you are serving? Maybe you need to come to the altar tonight and ask God to help you in the area of practical service. And then lastly, how is your personal service? Do you love God enough that you desire to sit at his feet and hear his word each and every single day? Do you place value on it? Or do you let distractions and the cares of this world and the fact that there's other things to do and work to be done prevent you from spending time with the Savior? Listen, don't miss out on the good part. Jesus said, this is the good part, and this is the part that we all need. Don't miss out on that. Don't miss out on the personal service that's required to please God in our service. Look, I know our church. I don't know why God impressed upon my heart to preach this message to you guys. I'll be honest with you. I know that we all serve here. I mean, we have a great church, amen? And all of us are serving. I imagine all of us are serving. But I just want to leave you with one question as I close. The question I want to leave you guys with is this, and then we'll pray. Is your service pleasing to the Savior? Is your service pleasing to the Savior? If not, the invitation is open for you tonight. Let's all stand. We'll have every head bowed and every eye closed.